Pastor Lubin, for the opportunity to come and share our ministry in Cambodia, to share my testimony, and also to preach the Word of God. What I'm going to do this afternoon is that as I go on preaching, I will be using my testimony and experiences as an ingredient of our message today. Of course, we are going to read the Word of God. Thank God that the United States send missionaries to my country, and they love the Filipinos, and I've met this American missionary, and he came to my college that time, and I received a small tract, and that's what God used to touch my heart, and I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:14. In your Bible, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. For the second time, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. For the third time, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. Thank God there is somebody who died on that cross, and that one who died on that cross paid our sin in full. And we know that the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank God that He came down to this, that dusty sinful earth, to pay our sin. And now I am free. And I believe when you trusted Him as your Lord and personal Savior, you are free. And you have that eternal life. And you are on your way to heaven. I would like to ask a question before that. Let us pray. Dear loving Heavenly Father, once again, thank you for your word. Your word that is so close to your heart and that is so close to the heart of our Lord Jesus Christ. May this book be close to our hearts also. Help us to read it. Help us to meditate it. Help us to obey it so that we will not sin against Thee. Dear sweet Holy Spirit, today I would like to ask that You fill us by Your power so that we can understand Your word. Please bless us now and bless Your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What the love of Christ can do. What that love of Jesus Christ can do. When I was 19 years old, I was taking civil engineering in that college in our city, and I received that small truck, smaller than this. I saw an American preacher came over to our college, and he passed a truck. I do not know the reason why he came there, but I have seen that he's passing truck. I was curious. I came out from that office where our teacher is, and I received one small truck. Just a curiosity. I put the truck inside my notebook. I went home, put it inside my cabinet, and forgot about it. After the school close began, I work in the city. There are two reasons why I need to work. To earn for my next semester of school year and to help some of our family's needs. During those times of working, I saw the truck several times. Fell from my cabinet. My mom swept it two times and I picked it up and put it inside my cabinet. But however, I ignored it because I think there would be plenty of time to think of those kind of types later. But one day, I did not go and work. I planned to go somewhere, but I overslept. When I wake up, I saw the truck laying down again, and I pick it up, and I read from the front to the back. I did not understand anything, but there is a statement at the bottom which says, "You are a sinner." I get a pen and a paper and ask question and send my letter to the address on the back of the truck. I am glad that missionary and his family came to my house that day. And they showed me my letter. They canceled their important schedule. And the preacher sat with me and he asked this question, "Edgar, if you died today, where will you go?" I could not answer him. He opened the little New Testament and he showed to me Romans 3:10, Romans 3:23, Romans 6:23, Romans 5:8, Romans 10:9 up to 13. He showed to me Revelation 21:8. He showed to me John 14:6, John 3:16. And he let me read and he asked me several questions. "Do you understand this? Do you understand that you are a sinner? Do you understand that you are on your way to hell?" That afternoon, my dear brothers and sisters, I've learned and realized something. I've realized that I'm a sinner. I've realized that I'm on my way to hell. I've learned, however, that somebody loves me. He died on the cross for my sin. And he paid my sin in full at the cross of Calvary. That if I plead guilty as charged and put my faith on Him, and He will save me. Brothers and sisters, that's what I did. Praise the Lord. I am on my way to heaven. I received that love of the Lord Jesus Christ in my life. I received eternal life. I have Him. I have His love. And now I am free. God bless me. I have a wonderful wife. God bless me with 8 children. Wow, you said wow. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Our 6th child is up there and I have 7 down here. Desiree is with me. She is the oldest. And my youngest is 8. Talk about fun at home, busy, and praise the Lord. When my wife delivered our children, every one of them, I was there at the delivery room, and I have heard their first cryings. When I'm working outside the house and heard my baby cry outside, I ran and to check on them, and when I saw my baby crying, I pick up my baby, lullaby my baby, put my baby to my bosom. There are reasons why our children cry. Maybe they fell from the bed. All of my children fell from the bed. Maybe they have a nightmare. They cry. And maybe they poo-poo, or maybe an ant bit them. But when I saw my baby crying, many times, Desiree, I lullaby Desiree many times, and Desiree sleep on my arms, and oh boy, when I pick up my child or my baby, lullaby my baby, and put my baby to my bosom, and when my baby sense the presence, that loving, that caring, that reaching arms of their father or their mother, they will stop crying. What I'm saying today, there are lots of people crying in the darkness of sin. They need somebody to go to them. Maybe you can go and put your arms around them and say to them, "Jesus Christ loves you." Maybe you can pat their shoulders or their head. And you assured them that somebody cared for you. And when they sense that loving, that caring, that reaching arms of yours, I believe, evidently, they will put their faith on the Lord Jesus Christ. They do not care how much you know until they know how much you care. You know that statement? People who does not have the love of Christ does not like to love. But if you have the love of Jesus Christ, it is not hard to be around someone else. If you have the love of Christ, it is not hard to be around our enemies. If you don't have that love of Christ, there is no reason of being there. The love of Christ drives me or compels me to make a choice. It is our ability to choose to love. Without it, we cannot see the need. Without it, we cannot love the people that Jesus loves. The love of Christ compels me to obey. To obey is our opportunity. From the Philippines to Cambodia, we pass by lots of people. Maybe hundreds, thousands, or maybe even millions of them. And I ask this question to myself, Lord, how many are saved and how many that are lost? I do not know. But there is one thing I know. And you know, there is one thing we know. We know John 3:16, God loves them. I can give you examples. Please bear with me. Jesus loves that man in town. He died. He loves that drunkard, that gambler, that smoker, that cheater, that lover, that painter, that carpenter, that car repairer, that bartender. He loves the drug addicts, those dope addicts, those epileptic, those skeptic, the cultic. He loves the blind, the maimed, the lame, the mute, the deaf, the two-legged, the single-legged, and even those who have no legs. He loves the chemist, or he loves the businessman. He loves the fisherman. He loves the craftsman, the big man, the small man, the skinny man, the fat man, the white man, the black, the brown, the yellow, the red, the lousy man, the Ottoman, the Superman, the Batman. He loves them. God loves people living behind the mask. God loves people living behind the veil. They think that they were superheroes, but deep within, there are holes. Deep within, there are vacuums. That only the one who died on the cross can fill those vacuums. Jesus Christ can satisfy their souls. God loves the chemist. God loves the dentist. God loves the physicist. God loves the astronomist, the scientist, the astrologist. God loves the biologist, the anthropologist. God loves the guitarist. God loves the pianist, the organist, the violinist, the saxophonist. God loves the rich, the poor, the old, the young, the handsome, the ugly, the beautiful, the pretty, the lady, the wetty. God loves the doctor, the conductor, the proctor, the orator, the quack doctor, the fake doctor, the senator, or senator. God loves the kings, the queens, the princes, the princesses, the incest. God loves the Chinese. God loves the Japanese. God loves the Taiwanese. God loves the Vietnamese. God loves the Burmese and even the Americanese. God loves the Cambodians, the Canadians, the Tanzanians, the Africans, the Singaporeans, Indonesians, Haitians, Tanzanians, Caucasians, Frenchians. God loves the Filipinos, the Mexicanos, Barbaros, Borneos. God loves the people of this world. And He died on that cross. 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 Praise God, the Creator of heaven and earth. He came Himself. He did not send someone else. Hallelujah. He did not stay up there, but He went to that cross and He died for you and for me because He loved us so much. He loved us so much. But after He died, He did not stay there after 3 days and three nights. He rose from the grave. He lives, He lives, He lives. He lives. My Jesus Christ lives today, and He is in my heart today. If you don't have Jesus Christ in your life, better to trust Him today. I encourage you. Because if you die, you are a first-class candidate to hell. These people loves the Lord Jesus Christ. What the love of Christ can do? First of all, the love of Christ constrained me, constrained us to have that passion and compassion for the lost. Matthew 9:36, when Jesus saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. God love constrains us to have that passion and compassion for the lost. Secondly, notice here, when I got saved, that's June, they encouraged us about discipleship. I've learned that as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, I need to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. The same month of August of 1987, I enrolled in the Bible school, taking secular college engineering during the day and taking the Bible school in the night. I took the night classes. I am glad I finished that course. And in 1990, I did not expect that God wants me to pastor my home church for almost 7 years. Every year, like what you are doing, I believe that we are conducting mission conferences every year. We encourage missionaries, national pastors to come and present their ministry. Though our church is not so big that time, and we supported them, we prayed for them. Every year, we take on missionaries. October of 1996, we had a mission conference once again. And I prayed with our men, leaders of the church, that God will call someone to go to another field. I preached that Thursday night, October of 1996, and I prayed, Lord, please send these Bible school students, please send these Bible school graduates, call them, dear Lord. And as I'm making an invitation that night behind that pulpit, no one came forward. God was speaking to my heart, saying, Brother Edgar, no one is coming. Why not be the first one to go and kneel down? In my own heart, it's very hard. I reasoned with the Lord that night, and I said, Lord, please let me and this church send someone. I love this church. This church loves me. Let me and this church send another. In reality, God is the one who sends. I struggled for around 4 months. And every time the Lord reminded me, I changed channels. But I do not have peace in my heart. If I stand behind that pulpit and preach on a Sunday or Wednesday, it doesn't make sense. There is that still small voice saying, why not answer God's call? God tightened His hand upon my life, and through searching and praying, God began to enlighten me clearly that He wants me to move to another ministry, which in my own heart, I would like to say I have my own will. But we do believe God's will is better than our will. His will be done. February of 1997, we attended a World Mission Conference. They invited lots of American speakers, Northside Bible Baptist Church. They invited many pastors, Christian workers. They presented videos and slides about these 1040 window countries. 1040 window countries, most populated countries of this world, least heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and few missionaries that go to those places. God showed me that country of Cambodia, that last night, last invitation, I cannot bear it anymore. I went forward and answered God's call for Cambodia. When the preacher prayed, I asked him, please pray for me. When I prayed in front, after I prayed, I opened my eyes to see if there are others who went forward. No one. I was alone. And I remember when God is calling me, 1996 October, and I was there February 23, 1997, answering that call. The preacher prayed for me, and I came down from that platform with peace in my heart, knowing that God's will be done for me and my family to the country of Cambodia. I went, sit down right beside my wife and shared to her the decision that I made with the Lord that night. And she looked at me. And she said something like this. I want you to know that I'm at your side. I'm at your back, not at your neck. Somebody said that the husband is the head and the wife is the neck, and the neck can turn the head anytime. That's not what my wife did. She said that night, I want you to know, whatever the Lord's call, I want you to know that I will support you 100%. Amen. Praise the Lord. God was working in the heart of my wife also that night. I am glad I made a commitment that day. I am glad I answered God's call that day. I am glad I answered that challenge to go and reach out to the lost, particularly in Cambodia. I am glad I answered God's call. The song said, I surrender all. I surrender all. I'm not saying that I did surrender all, but I'm glad I gave my life to Jesus Christ for that country to reach out to the lost, to the lost in that particular place. Secondly, the love of Christ constrained me to have compassion and compassion, but secondly, the love of Christ constrained me to make a proper commitment. A couple who plan to marry must make a commitment for life till death do us part. The church of Jesus Christ must make a commitment because we know from the cross through the church and to the world. Jesus said to his disciple, come on. Come here. Let's have a mission conference. Let's discuss about souls. Let's sit down. And Jesus said to them, I want volunteers. I want volunteers. I want volunteers. I want volunteers. And Jesus opened his mouth and he gave that very words, that clear words to them and say, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Matthew 9:37. I want commitments here. I want somebody to go and reach out to the lost. Maybe a commitment to pray. Maybe you cannot sing the way a soloist sing. Maybe you cannot play the piano the way a pianist play the piano. Maybe you cannot play the violin like a violinist play. Maybe you cannot sing in the choir like the choir sing. Maybe you cannot go out and pass a track as others go. Maybe you cannot do those things. Maybe you cannot teach a Sunday school. Maybe you cannot teach like the teacher of a Sunday school teach. But maybe you can do one of the greatest, if not the greatest of all ministries. You can do the intercessory prayer. You can make a commitment. You can pray for more souls to be saved around. You can pray for more souls to be saved abroad. You can pray for more laborers to go around. You can pray for more laborers to go abroad. There are lots of things to pray for, and especially, let us pray for the salvation of the lost. A bedridden woman, laying in bed. They do not like her, but she was a Christian. Nobody likes her, but she prayed, Lord, please give me food today. Please save the souls, my neighbor. Please save that child. Please save that young man out there. And God answers her prayer. Maybe a commitment to give. You can set aside a portion of your faith promise giving in a week or in a month. It is time to have a part. It is time to wake up to the truth. It is time to have a part in worldwide evangelization. It is time to set aside a portion of what God gives to me for mission. I believe He will supply the need. He wants us to make a commitment to give. One time in our little church in Cambodia, as I used to we used to do, I gather my family, and every day we'll have our devotion. And I shared to them, this month, or the month of December, we will going to have our mission conference, and we will support some of this national that we are training. And my fourth child, dearly, I have five girls, and we consider that the one who died, a boy also, and I have three boys. All my children, the ladies, the girls, their names begins with D, desire, desirial, delight, dearly, discern, and decent. And dearly said to me, Daddy, I will support a missionary. And I asked her, where will you get your money? And darling, do not ask a child, something like that. And she answered to me, from you. Brothers and sisters, when I prayed a closing prayer, our devotion, God touched my heart, and I confessed my sin, lack of faith. And God said to me, you have a daddy up there. I confess my lack of faith. I do not have that childlike faith like dearly. Brothers and sisters, we can make a commitment to give by faith or in faith. God wants us to have that childlike faith and say, Father, I want to give more to mission. I do not have the money. Please supply. I do not have the means, but will you do it for me? We have a daddy up there in heaven. One time, Prince John went to the palace. He met this beautiful princess. And Prince John loves that princess so much that he wants to date the princess. But John cannot speak good. He went to that palace one day, and John said, may I have a date with you? But John said, and the princess said, John, please go home. I cannot understand what you say. But John loved so much that princess, and he studied, learned maybe tongue twister. He studied English. May I have a date with you? 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 And John clearly can say that statement, and what he did. I love the princess. He put his dress to kill, put his perfume, prepare his chariot. He went to the palace. Of course, the princess is expecting John. And hey, the door opened, and John did not wait any second, and he approaches the princess, and he asks the princess, "May I have a date with you?" The princess was amazed. And she asked a question to John. Hey, John, you can speak good. Where did you learn that? And John answered, oh, he did not learn the next thing to say. But in short, brothers and sisters, okay. The story goes on. John married the princess, and they live happily ever after. What I'm saying today, when you made a commitment to give by faith or in faith, and when you give your best, God will honor your best. God will honor your faith. Honor your faith. And you can say, yes, I have done my best. You cannot exchange that joy of giving. You cannot exchange that joy of telling, hey, it is more blessed to give than to receive. For God loveth a cheerful, hilarious giver. A preacher was, a preacher one time, he was, you know, preaching about giving. And a man at the back, get his gun and shoot that preacher. And they saw the preacher, okay, the bullet comes to here. The preacher, but the preacher did not die. The man says, this is a Magnum 357, let's see. Shoot again the preacher, last bullet, poof! The bullet, right to the wall, and bounce back. And the bullet hit the back of the preacher. And the preacher died. They said, what happened? Why the preacher died when it hit his back? And they saw, check his back. And they saw the wallet. And they said, oh, the heart of the preacher is in the pocketbook. It's in the pocketbook. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where is your heart, brothers and sisters? Let's have the heart and make a commitment to give for the sake of the lost. Where is your heart today? Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let's do it like the Jordan River. Amen. You know this story. The Jordan River receiving water from the Sea of Galilee. And the Sea of Galilee is disposing lots of water, tons and tons of waters to the Jordan River. The Jordan receive, but the Jordan River gives and gives and gives. And the Dead Sea receive lots of water to the Jordan River. From the Jordan River. There is no outlet. And they call that sea dead. Receiving lots of waters also, all the dirts, all the things that comes from the Sea of Galilee through Jordan River, that dead sea receive it. Our life sometimes as Christians is like Jordan River and like dead sea. There are Christians when they know that God, the Sea of Galilee of our life, is the Lord Jesus Christ. When we receive something from the Lord, there are Christians willing to give. No wonder Jordan River has lots of fresh aquatic creatures and resources. Because Jordan River received and they're willing to give. As Christians, we need to receive and we need to give. We need to receive and we are so happy. Our life is fresh when we understand that principle. But there are some believers also, they want to just to receive and receive and receive and receive and receive. Like when you are eating and eating and eating and eating and eating and eating, your belly can't. What happens if it will not come out? You are dead. Right? You are dead. Which are you? Let's make a commitment to give. We cannot make a commitment to give, but Jesus Christ, His love that constraineth us, compels us to make commitment, a proper commitment to pray, to give, and to the Lord's one is to go. One day, Andrew went to Peter, and Philip went to Nathaniel. Hudson Taylor went to China. David Livingstone went to Africa. William Carey went to India. Adoniram Judson went to Burma. The American missionaries. You send out lots of American missionaries to the Philippines. And Filipinos now, all over the country, there are Baptist churches who believes like we do, like you do. There are Filipinos now who receive the Lord and they are sending missionaries to other countries, especially to this 1040 window, and that includes my family. And I thank God somebody did go. I thank God somebody made a commitment to, you know, go. The Bible says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Thirdly, the love of Christ constraineth me. In verse 38 of Matthew chapter 9, we can see this verse. Sometimes we ignore this verse. Sometimes we think that it is about praying. But more than that, I did not understand until I read it and read it. Jesus said, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. When Jesus talked to his disciples, he told them, pray ye therefore. Did you analyze the verse that when a verb comes before the subject, teachers, you know this, when a verb comes before the subject, it is not a suggestion. It is not just a plain statement or sentence. When a verb comes before the subject, it is imperative. It is a command. Pray ye. Study to show thyself. Jesus Christ pointed out to his audience, to his disciples, he said to them, pray ye. He wants them to understand that you pray now. Pray in the future. If you study the context of that verse, the tense, it is in a continuous tense. Pray, pray, pray. Pray, pray, pray. Pray, pray, pray. What I'm saying is this. The love of Jesus Christ constraineth me and constraineth you to pursue and continue for the sake of the lost. There may be problems in life, troubles, testing, sicknesses, family problems, enemy problem, personal problem, general problem, money problem, love problem, emotional, mental, in-laws problem, office problem, husband and wife problem, burden seems so heavy, load so hard to bear, you go through fire, you go through deep waters, you are hanging between mountains, you cannot move on. Hey, I have a good news for you. Jesus Christ died on that cross. Jesus Christ, move on. And he can help you. Hey, try to understand. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Who had begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. After 4 years of doing the ministry in Cambodia, we had a service that Sunday. And the way we welcome in Cambodia is like this. Welcome. Chum Rip Sua. Chum Rip Sua. Good morning. Aron Susadai. Good afternoon. Sayon Susadai. Bye-bye. Chum Rip Lia. And when we had that welcoming together, we will not shake hands. We will go to each one. Chum Rip Sua. 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 So tiring. And I say to them, I stand in front and will tell them, Chum Rip Sua, everybody. And they understand. They understand. These Buddhist people, they have that understanding that if you tell them the truth, the love of Christ, they will receive it. They will begin to trust Him and put their faith upon the Lord. After that service in the afternoon, my wife came to me and she was crying. She was crying. What is happening? And she said to me, I want to go back home. I want to go back to the Philippines. She was crying. And myself, I felt the same. And if I told my wife that day, then the next day we packed up and we go home. But I was so confused. And I hold the hand of my wife. we went to the side of the church and encouraged her to kneel down. I prayed, but I do not understand what I said to the Lord. I was crying. My heart is so heavy, and I do not know what to do. The last part of my prayer is something like this. Lord, please help me. Lord, please help me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I believe when you cried out, God will answer. When I said amen, my wife looked at me and she asked this question. What are we going to do now? Amen! There is a change. There is a change. She asked me, what are we going to do now? And I answered her calmly, let's move on. Let's continue on serving the Lord. I can tell you lots of experiences in Cambodia when your children are sick. You do not know what to do. Hospitals are closed. The doctor you know is far in a far place. I believe some of you may be in a situation. I do not know the cases here in the U.S. But in Cambodia, my children and one of them, the Cyril, they're laying down there, all of them. They have that voice and they're crying. And I do not know what to do. And I said, to the Lord. And hey, you will be challenged. You will be, you do not know what to do. Rather than go down and kneel down and beg the Lord to help you. There are lots of temptation to stop. But I can tell you, brothers and sisters, tonight, move on. When your problem seems too heavy, go on! Continue on! Well, maybe you say to me, Pastor Edgar, after this service, I'll quit. I will not come to church anymore. I would like to encourage you, one more time, get up! Get up! One more time! One more time! Maybe you are discouraged, brothers, sister. One more time. Get up. Get up. Get up. Continue on. Continue on. Go on. Serve the Lord. Continue to pray. Continue to read your Bible. Continue to give. Continue to reach the lost. Continue to support more missionaries. Continue to pray for your pastor, his family. Continue to pray for one another. Continue to pray for your neighbors. Continue to pray your co-op is made. Hey, hey, hey. Go on. One more time. One more time. Continue on. Continue on. Continue on. Continue on. Continue on. Continue on. Go on. You can do it. One more time. Get up. Get up. Get up. Get up, get up, one more time. Go on, stop complaining. Serve the Lord, move on. Wow, it's so tiring. You may be tired in the ministry, but God always say, move on. You may say, hey, I do not like anymore, but God is still willing. But God wants you to move on and continue on. Let me ask you a question. How about if the Lord Jesus Christ did not move on? How about if the Lord Jesus Christ quit and did not go to that cross? How about if the Apostle Paul did not go on? We don't have the 13 epistles of the New Testament. The love of Christ constrained me to pursue and to continue. The love of Christ constrained me to have passion and compassion for the sake of the lost. The love of Christ constrained me to make a proper commitment to pray, to give, and to go. The love of Christ constrained me to pursue and continue. If we start here,
Do not stop here. What would your life be if you did not finish the race? Yes, life is hard and this hurt. But if you have the Lord Jesus Christ, you can do all things. Through Him, He strengtheneth us. For the love of Christ constraineth us. Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. We have that Savior who did move on. Let us follow this step. Shall we pray as I call Pastor Carl?